It's called soccer.
It's called football.
Soccer.
Football.
Domino's best deal ever lets you get any pizza, including stuffed crust, with any toppings for $9.99.
Okay, we can agree on that.
Yeah, fully.
So, pineapple?
Don't ruin it.
Get any pizza, including stuffed crust, with any toppings for $9.99. Finally, something everyone can get behind.
And if the rest disagree, that's between them and Domino's. Which means the only thing left to fight over is who's ordering.
Domino's.
Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6:15 to 7:26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings. 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Tim Dillon Show, episode 500. What a journey it's been. J.D. Vance, our vice president, out there launching his presidential campaign, going on every podcast, not this one. He has not reached, his people have not reached out. But he went on The View, and he's on Diary of a CEO, and he's on Ross Douthat's podcast at the New York Times, because Vance is plugging his new book, and the title of the book is God Chose Me, written by J.D. Vance. God Chose Me, the new book by J.D. Vance about how the process of God selecting him to lead the country. And I want to read a little bit from J.D. Vance's book, if you would be so kind as to allow me. And I have it here. You don't even need to look it up. I have it. I have it right here. You don't even need to look it up. You can follow along with me at home. I have it right here. And this is from J.D. Vance's new book, God Chose Me. And this is about J.D. Vance reconnecting with his faith how God has chosen him to be the president. God, of course, used Peter Thiel as an emissary to select J.D. Vance. Anyway, this is, so we have here an excerpt from the book, God Chose Me by J.D. Vance. Here we are. After sacrificing Charlie Kirk to the entity Baal, I began to think about my faith. Long nights in the vice president's residence, pacing, thinking about if the sacrifice to Baal would be enough. Long meetings in the Oval Office and the Situation Room discussing Baal's incessant appetite for flesh. When will Baal get enough, I would ask while drinking my morning coffee. Or at night, while I sat there and my wife, expressionless, stared at me and refusing to speak. Does Baal care about America, I would ask? Is Baal a fan? Could I get a meeting with Baal? Could I sit toe-to-toe with Baal and in its ancient tongue convince it to stop killing? Very, by the way, as a excerpt from a book, it's very interesting because it's J.D. Vance communicating with the deity Baal. Well, of course, many people are going to say, well, that's not technically in his book. It's the essence of the book. It's the essence of the book. And I'm allowed, by the way, to take poetic license, because that's the thing I like about J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance would sit down with Baal and try his best. Vance is a striver, you know? And when you're a striver, there's no end. Striving doesn't have an end, by the way. So there's nothing that he wouldn't consider or do to get where he wants. And I'm not necessarily saying that's a bad thing, but that is just a fact. And Vance knows that MAGA is ending. The MAGA movement, the party that Donald Trump threw when he walked down the escalator, is ending. And I think it ended with that UFC fight. I think that was the last party MAGA was going to throw. You had motocross, you had UFC fights, That was a fun party, but it's the final. I think it's the final party. I think in the same way that that Imagine video during COVID, Hollywood didn't know it then, but that was the end of them. Like, that was the finale of Hollywood. They didn't know. They thought they were making a video trying to, I don't know what the hell they were trying to get people to do, stay in their house or shut their mouths or whatever, or feel, you know, some sort of way, you know, or, you know, they wanted to do this, you know, thing to calm people down or inspire them. Whatever was in their mind, that Imagine video was the end of Hollywood. It was the finale. It was the series finale of whatever Hollywood was from its inception in the early 1900s to that Imagine video in 2020, I think. That was the end. And in the same way that I think the MAGA movement's final party was the octagon on the White House lawn, that seems to be a fitting symbol of the finale of the MAGA movement. As a cultural force, that was the most fun. It's not going to get more fun than that. Take a look at that. Take a look at this. Is it going to get more fun than that? You've got the flyover. Yeah, there it is. This is it. You're not going to top this as a party goes. You are not going to top UFC on the White House lawn. For the diehard MAGA people, this is what they got. They were promised a lot of other stuff. But this is what they got. This is the party that they got. And some of them were there in person. You know, people made the pilgrimage. Some of them watched it, streamed it. Yeah, play some more. Give us that one right there. What a great, there it is. This is, I want you to look at this very closely. This is kind of the finale of MAG. This is what it is. Take it away. End of the free. There it goes. There it is. Dana White, Trump. I mean, listen, as finales go, this was pretty big. This is a spectacular, you know, what are you going to do? You can't top UFC on the White House lawn. And then one guy comes out and goes, Michelle Obama's a man. Could it get better than that for these people? This was the finale. This is the penultimate conclusion of MAGA. It's a UFC fight on a White House lawn with motocross. And then one of the fighters goes, by the way, do you want to say anything? And he goes, Michelle Obama's a man. And that is the finale. But they don't know it yet. Here's the thing. They don't know it yet. In the same way that when Hollywood did that Imagine video, they had no idea that they were on their way to being like irrelevant and hated. They didn't get it. They were just doing this video that they thought in their you know, sunburnt brains was going to help. And it was actually the finale for the idea of celebrity in this country being like something that's respected. We still are obsessed with the idea of celebrity, but we don't view them godlike figures. We actually like to pump them up and then tear them down. We like to shred them. You know, that's part of the deal. And the beginning of people turning on Hollywood was that video. And this will be the finale of the MAGA movement. And they don't know it yet. So J.D. Vance, our vice president, is out on the podcast circuit with a new book called God Chose Me. And it's about J.D. Vance being selected by an omniscient God to lead our country. I think, from what I understand in the book, and I haven't read it, from what I understand in the book, God appears to J.D. Vance in the White House and tells J.D. Vance, you got to go along with the Iran stuff up until they have some kind of deal, and then you could kind of start distancing yourself from Trump before the midterms. And you have to, at that point, you know, release a book about your finding your way back to faith. He goes, I know you married a woman who doesn't believe, she's from a completely different religion. I get it. But he goes, it's important. This is God appearing to J.D. Vance at the vice president's residence going, just stick with Trump right now. Say he's a strong leader. Go out and say Iran can't have a nuclear weapon. And then a few months later, after we've lost the war, then come out and say it's actually Iran is well within its rights to defend itself in its own country after we've attacked them. That's one of the craziest things I've ever heard. People like me were saying that before the war. We were going, yeah, well, these people want some defensive capabilities. And J.D. Vance, if you could pull that up, J.D. Vance is now saying that now. It's very funny because if you remember a few months ago, if you have that, you know, if you have that capacity to think back, you will remember that the tone coming out of the administration was that, like, the Iranian regime poses a unique threat to the security of America, Israel, Western civilization, that there can be no negotiating with Iran. I mean, this is why we had all those fake negotiations and then attacked them every time. So when God appeared to J.D., this is all God said, predicted a lot of this. God was like, this is what's going to happen. And then God told J.D. Vance, when you are out on your book tour, and here are the podcasts you should go on, when you are out on your book tour and you are trying to rebrand, you're going to have to come out and say that, like, of course Iran has the right to defend itself. So take it away. This is J.D. Vance speaking as a mouthpiece for the Lord, I believe. Here he is.
Help us understand President Trump's shift on his stance for Iran's ballistic missile program. Initially, it was a key objective to dismantle it. Yesterday, he said it would only be fair if they had some, if the countries around Iran also had some. So when and why did that change? And will the final agreement have any restrictions on these missiles?
Can I give the real answer? Stop him for a minute. Let me give the real answer. Thank you for the question. We're not concerned with specifics, and many of our fans are also not concerned with specifics. No one takes this seriously anymore. We don't feel a need to be consistent in our public or private statements. We aim to be entertaining, and we actually aim to distract as much as we can. We're just trying to keep the ball in the air here. We didn't realize how badly we were going to lose this war, but we did. Iran really, really, I mean, I got to hand it to Iran. They really showed us up. So what we're trying now to do is basically exit. And we're going to reverse everything we said 60 to 90 days ago. And we're hoping that people eventually just forget this ever happened. That's the actual answer. But let's see. J.D. Vance, everyone.
Destroyed a substantial number of their ballistic missiles and their ballistic missile launchers themselves. It's not just the bullets, but it's the actual gun. And that's what we were extremely effective at in destroying during the last 3 months of the campaign. All the president said yesterday is that, of course, countries don't give up the right of self-defense. Israel doesn't give up the right of self-defense if Hezbollah fires rockets or drones at Israel. The Iranians don't give up the right of self-defense in their country. But we do expect that as part of the final deal, they are not going to be able to build the kind of missiles that can broadly threaten the entire world. And that's what the President of the United States said yesterday.
So, you know, basically, in layman's terms, hey, it didn't work. The thing we tried to do didn't work. Why do you keep asking questions about it? You know it didn't work. We lost the thing. What do you want me to say? They have the right. We destroyed a lot of their ballistic missiles, but they have the right to the rest of them. They have the right to the rest of these missiles, that the ones we didn't destroy. And they should have them. They have the right to self-defense, even though we went into the war because Iran was on the offense against us, supposedly, and was we couldn't let them retain any ability to threaten their regional neighbors or our country. But now we can. We can now. We can live with it. We can live with it because we lost. So we can actually live with them having missiles because we can't win. You see, they held the world economy hostage with the Straits of Hormuz. Trump's a rich guy. He likes rich guys. Rich guys want their money. And if this becomes an economic problem and we have an economic collapse and gas is $10 and there's riots in the streets, or if we put the American military on the ground and either win, but it's an ugly win that takes years and bankrupts us, or even worse, we don't win, or it's a stalemate, and it's what's happening in the Ukraine and Russia, where it's a bloody and humiliating episode in our history, the Republican Party is going to go down in a major way, not only in the midterms, but in the next election and probably the one after that. So what we're trying to do is exit, which I'm all for. I believe in an exit. I believe in a cowardly exit. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I believe in a cowardly exit. But he's being too verbose. When you're running away and lying, you have to keep it simple. Keep it simple. When you are turning tail and running away, because the only way to win this war is to put boots on the ground, try to capture Karg Island. We just told you why that's not going to work. The other way is to nuke them. Now, by the way, the proponents of the war, the faction of Netanyahu and the neocons and a lot of the Israeli donors would like Iran decimated no matter what. If it's boots on the ground, sure. If it's a nuke, even better. They don't have a problem with that. But Vance and other people have realized that that will be the end of America. A ground invasion of Iran or a nuclear weapon will be the end of the United States of America. We will not survive that conflict. We won't. So we're out and we've got a deal. And a lot of people don't like the deal. And by the way, here's why I think it's actually a good deal. The points of the deal were dictated to J.D. Vance by God. That's why I'm comfortable with the deal. And that's in J.D. Vance's new book. God appeared to me in my room and gave me the Iran deal. And it's 14 points. Armor colostrum is so important. I tell everybody all the time about it. You know, I'll be standing in line somewhere and I'll go, have you talked about armor colostrum? Have you heard about it? And people go, what exactly do you mean? And I go, well, number one, it's incredibly important for your health, okay? It's really nature's original health hack. Colostrum is packed with over 400 bioactive nutrients to fortify gut health, strengthen your immune health, promote healthy metabolism, and fuel fitness performance, revitalize your health from the inside out, function like a human again with Armra. Strengthened immune health is so important. So much is linked to your gut health right now. We've worked out a special offer for my audience. Receive 30% off your first subscription order. Go to armor.com/Tim and enter TIM to get 30% off your first subscription order. That's armra.com/TIM. Dose is an amazing supplement for your cholesterol. Okay? I'm telling you right now. I mean, dose is lowering people's LDL, HDL, triglycerides, total cholesterol. It has ingredients like turmeric, amia, other plant mineral forward ingredients, so you're not putting a bunch of BS in your body. It's a way to self-manage your cholesterol that's gentler on the body, and it's a great alternative to conventional therapies. It's delivered right to your door, making getting the support you need for your health easy to stick to. They have great products on their website. They have tons of great products over there. It's not just dose. It's unbelievable. It's not just for cholesterol. They have other things as well. But I'm telling you right now, if you have been given some high numbers, higher than you like, and you want to introduce some natural remedies as well, new customers can save 30% off on your first month of subscription by going to dosedaily.co/TIM or entering TIM at checkout. dosedaily.co/TIM or entering TIM at checkout. That's dosedaily.co/TIM for 30% off, 35% off your first month subscription.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Can we read this? Let's read, if we can, some of the Iran deal that we had to make because we lost. Now, I'm not going to belabor that point. I'm ready to move on. We're all ready to move on. Israel's probably not ready to move on. They don't seem to be ready to move on. Some Republican senators are now kicking up dust. They're not ready to move on. They want to go back in. Okay. So the United States of America and the Islamic Republic of Iran have jointly agreed in good faith to do X. Number one, the United States of America and the Islamic Republic of Iran and their allies in the current war are signing this MOU to declare the immediate and permanent termination of military operations on all fronts, including in Lebanon. Now, this is going to be a sticking point for Israel because Israel is in Lebanon, supposedly, because there's an existential threat to Israel posed by Hezbollah. And so they're going into Lebanon and they are bombing Lebanon in a pretty brutal way and killing a lot of civilians. And they are unwilling to stop that. They don't want to stop that. Israel's like not, they're like not trying to stop that. They go, hey, you got to let us kill someone. That's what Israel's basically saying. They're like, we're going to kill somebody here. I don't care what deal you've written down or what you think's going on. We got to kill. Can you let us kill someone? And we're killing these. You stopped us from killing the people of Gaza. We got to kill somebody. Can we kill them? Can you give us a group of people that we can kill? Please. We're asking nicely. So I empathize with them on that count. I'm just going to summarize these points. Number two, the United States of America and the Islamic Republic of Iran undertake to respect each other's sovereignty and territorial integrity and refrain from interfering in each other's international affairs. So it's like, hey, it's a fight at the school and the teacher separates the kids and goes, hey, you don't have to like each other, but you got to respect each other. You got to just look the other way. If he says something you don't like, ignore it. If he says something you don't like, ignore it. Okay, that's point two. Point three, the United States of America and the Islamic Republic of Iran commit to negotiating and achieving the final deal in maximum 60 days, extendable with mutual consent. Number four, immediately upon the signing of this, the U.S. will begin the removal of its naval blockade and any disturbances, blah, 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 blah. Number five, upon signing this, the Islamic Republic of Iran will make arrangements using its best efforts for the safe passage of commercial vehicles, vessels with no charge for 60 days. So we're opening the straits. Iran's opening the Straits of Hormuz. We're removing the naval blockade. We're respecting them. They're respecting us. Number six, the U.S. undertakes with regional partners to develop a definitive mutually agreed plan with at least U.S. dollars, $300 billion for the reconstruction and economic development of Iran. So if we make good on this, which who knows if we will or who knows what mechanism we'll use, they get $300 billion. Okay, number seven. So they're up. I mean, they're down because we blew up a lot of their shit, but they're up a little. The United States of America undertakes to terminate all types of sanctions against the Islamic Republic of Iran. This is an interesting one, including the United Nations Security Council resolutions. By the way, Iran has won in ways you can't even imagine. You cannot even imagine how stupid this and what an embarrassment this has been for the Trump administration. I mean, Iran is stronger now. Now it's gonna build nukes. Why wouldn't it? And Iran's wanted some of this stuff for years, like the sanctions, the UN Security Council stuff. They've wanted this for years, and attacking them and not being able, you know, again, unprovoked attack from the United States government and Israel, bombing school children as they sat there, unleashing utter chaos in the region, has resulted in Iran is coming out of this stronger and better than ever before. And here's the deal. I kind of love this for Iran. Iran is in their new era. I love this era for Iran. Do you not love this era for Iran? I actually love this for them. I love this era for Iran. It's an Islamic Republic summer brought to you by the Donald Trump, J.D. Vance administration. It's an Islamic Republic summer, and they are flying high. Number eight, the Islamic Republic of Iran reaffirms that it shall not procure or develop nuclear weapons. And there's going to be some supervision by the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency. The two parties also agreed to discuss the issue of enrichment and other mutually agreed matters related to their nuclear needs. Let's go number nine. So they're basically like, we're not going to get nukes. Relax. Everything's fine. We'll let the IAEA come in. Pending the final deal, the United States and the Islamic Republic agree to maintain the status quo. They'll maintain the status quo of their nuclear program, and the United States will not impose any new sanctions and will not deploy additional forces in the region. Number 10, the U.S. undertakes that immediately upon the signing of this and until the termination of sanctions, U.S. Department of Treasury will issue waivers for the export of Iranian crude oil, petroleum products, and derivatives. Number 11, the United States of America undertakes to make fully available for the use the frozen or restricted funds and assets of the Islamic Republic of Iran under the implementation of this deal. United States and the Islamic Republic of Iran will mutually agree on the procedures related to the release of these funds during negotiations. Such funds, whether retained in the original account or transferred, shall be made fully usable for payment, lovely, to any ultimate beneficiary designated by the Central Bank of the Islamic Republic. Number 12, the U.S. and Iran agree that an executive mechanism will be established to monitor the successful implementation of this and the future compliance. Number 13, after signing this and subject to the beginning of implementation, the continuing implementation of these measures, the U.S. and the Islamic Republic of Iran will start negotiations regarding the final deals exclusively on the other paragraphs. The final deal will be endorsed by a binding UNSC, United Nations Security Council resolution. So there we have it. This is the end of the Iran war. If it sticks, they get a lot. We get a little, but this is the beginning of Iran joining the international community and becoming even more of a regional power than they were. Israel's not happy with this. This is the exact opposite of what Israel wanted. Vance is coming out now. Trump is coming out going, listen, guys, we're done. We can't do this anymore. Israel, stunned by Trump's Iran deals, the New York Times, sees it as a catastrophic capitulation. Israel wants boots on the ground. They want a nuke. They want a regional war. This is a bad idea for them. It's a terrible idea. And Republican senators in Congress are going to kick up dust about this too, because they're going to be pressured by their donors with whatever mechanism. Up to you to decide how they're being pressured, but they will be pressured to speak out against this, and they may try to impeach Trump over it, and it's leaking out that maybe when the Democrats get in, they'll impeach Trump and the Republicans will get on board because they're unhappy with the Iran deal. I don't believe that, but that is something that is potentially leaking out. So listen, what I said would happen has kind of happened. Iran's in its new era. Iran, dare I say, is in its bad girl era. You know what I mean? Like, if you think about Iran, it's kind of in its bad girl era. Like, you took on the big dog and you won and you kind of got what you wanted. You know, you're in your bad girl era. So we're the mommy. We're the mommy. And Iran's our daughter. And Iran's a little bit of a bad girl. And we go into her room and we go, you better get your life together, young lady. And our daughter goes, yeah, fuck you, ma. Fuck you. And we go, don't talk to me like that. I'm your mother. And I brought you into this world and I can take you out of it. And then our daughter goes, yeah, try. And then the mother goes to grab her and puts her in a headlock. But the daughter sneaks out of it and gets in the mom's car. And the mom goes, I need that car. I got to go to work. You're fucking my money up. And the daughter goes, well, then raise my curfew. And the mom goes, motherfucker, you're a cunt. And the daughter goes, you're going to raise my curfew. I got out of that headlock, you dumb bitch. I'm going out Saturday night till 12 because everybody else is. Remove sanctions against me, you fat bitch. You fat boomer bitch. You remove those sanctions against me or I'll steal your fucking car. You won't get to work and you'll lose your fucking money. And that's all you care about at the end of the day, you fat beanie baby collecting boomer bitch. And you go, fuck, fine. So then you sit your fat ass down and you write a 14-point deal with your cunt daughter. And you go, we will raise your curfew till 12, but you will submit to random drug testing at a scheduled time, blah, blah, blah. You will not let your boyfriend in the house when we are not home, but you will rejoin the international community. We will take you on our family vacation. We will. So Iran's in her straight up bad girl era. Iran is at the high school with the cig in the mouth, lit the ciggy, going, that bitch thought she had me. She came and put me in a headlock, but I slipped out of it, and my curfew's raised. And all of the other people are like, this is fucking wild. All the other kids at the school are looking at Iran going, wow. And if I was And is there stats on this, any of these betting sites, Polymarket or whatever? Are there stats on if this thing holds? Because I think it's going to hold. My prediction is it's going to hold. I think it holds because I don't think we have a choice. It'll be the collapse of our country if it doesn't hold. What is this? Iran agrees to end enrichment of uranium by June 3rd. Because, by the way, there's inside people on these sites. It's not only like just, it is public sentiment, but it's also certain people that are in the know. Iran agrees to end enrichment of uranium by June 30th, 44% chance. Interesting. I don't know. I think Iran's still going to enrich to the point for peaceful nuclear. Well, I'm taking the other side of that. Listen, a lot of the things that we grew up believing that were true at one time about our country are no longer true. We grew up believing we were the, and we were at one point, we were the sole superpower and we could act with impunity. Karl Rove, Bush's brain, his strategist said once, we are an empire and when we act, we create our own reality. That's a Karl Rove quote. Get that quote up because it's going to tie into what I'm going to talk to you next. Karl Rove, who was the strategist for George W. Bush, said we are an empire. And when we act, we create our own reality. This was, I'm paraphrasing it a little bit, quote, the full quote reported by a, yes, reported, we are an empire now, and when we act, we create our own reality, and while you're studying that reality judiciously, as you will act again, creating other new realities, which you can study too, and that's how things will sort out. We're history's actors, and you, all of you, will just be left to study what we do. That was the American, the guiding principle of American foreign policy for as long as I've grown up. We do something, we give our own justifications for it. Hey, if you like it, great. If you don't, fuck off. Because we create the reality. Well, guess what Iran just showed us? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, the full quote is reported to journalist Ron Suskind in the New York Times Magazine, and this was Karl Rove. And he was saying that. We're not creating a reality anymore. We're not creating a reality anymore. We can act. We can still act. We can still do things. We can still bomb people and invade countries. But by the way, we have completely lost the ability to manufacture a reality. No, reality has become reality. And we got a dose of it in the Iran war. You know, our military is incredibly brave, capable, competent, but there are situations that we put them in where they are unwinnable. And the tools of this, of warfare now, are drones. They are not aircraft carriers. They are not massive ground invasions. They are drones, and they're propaganda, by the way. So what you do is you try to win this, you try to unite as many people behind this thing as you can, in whichever, in whatever capacity you can. And then you also try to execute a plan militarily. We failed on both ends. We failed on both ends. We were unable to get anyone to think this was good, for the most part, outside of a few broken people in our country that thought this was a good idea, who are broken in many different ways and have been broken. And they've been, you know, they've been completely captured by money or blackmail or whatever. And they're just, they've been in Washington forever and their business is war. But rank and file people never thought this was a good idea. Human beings you would bump into outside of a few ideological people, everybody was like, nah, it's a bad idea. It's a bad idea. We shouldn't do it. And now we have Vance launching his presidential campaign going, hey, they got the Iran has the right to defend itself. They have the right to defend itself. We got into this skirmish. We got into a fight. It happens. And we're going to lift sanctions. We're going to give them a couple of bucks. And J.D. Vance should have looked at her and said, Iran's in its bad girl era. And you can't stop a bad bitch. You can't stop a bad bitch. What do you want us to do? We are in our era as a country. We are in our Carmela Soprano at the end era. Can you get up the scene of the Sopranos where Carmela confesses to the priest and then the priest tells her that she knows where all the money was coming? Maybe it was a psychologist or a priest. I forget who it was. Where basically the guy goes, you knew where all this money was coming from. Maybe it's not this. I don't think it's this one. This is the one where her and the priest almost hook up. We want the one, I think, where she speaks to a psychologist or a priest. And basically the gist of it is Carmela Soprano is saying, hey, she wants to be absolved, basically, of her culpability in her husband's crimes. You know, we lived really well, but, you know, I didn't really know. And the priest, the psychologist, I really forget who it is. He basically says, well, you knew where the money was coming from. And you knew exactly what was going on. And you've lived very well off this money. And she's shocked by this because she's the Don's wife. So everyone treats her with like a modicum of respect. Even the local parish priest, he depends on her donations. So nobody really tells Carmela that she's culpable in like Tony's shit, in his crimes. And that's the era that we're in. Like, we're finally getting this comeuppance. We're finally being told the limits of our power, and we're finally being told you cannot sell yourself as the moral savior of the world after the things you've done. I think this is, yeah. Okay, here we go. The Sopranos right here. Take it away. Let's watch this. If we can, it takes a little time here, but I think it's important to watch this for everybody. I want you to imagine Carmela Soprano is the United States of America in this clip. This is the era that we're in. Iran, for good or ill, I'm no fan of Iran, but they're in their bad bitch era. They're in their bad bitch era. It's sexy summer fun for the Islamic Republic. They're baddies right now. So that's their era because they just tangled with us. They came out. It's hard to not say they came out on top if this thing sticks. Here's Carmela Soprano. This is us, the United States of America. Take it away.
Marriage has problems.
Is he seeing another woman?
Yeah, you can make that plural. Yes, he sees other women. I sort of look the other way. I want to help him.
Do you? Moments ago, you used the word divorce.
I said I was considering divorce. I may be overstepping my boundaries here, but...
She's talking about Israel.
You are Jewish, aren't you?
Is that relevant?
Well, us Catholics, we place a great deal of stock in the sanctity of the family. And I am not sure that your people...
I've been married for 31 years.
Well, then you know how difficult it can be. He's a good man. He's a good father.
You tell me he's a depressed criminal. Prone to anger, serially unfaithful. Is that your definition of a good man?
I thought psychiatrists weren't supposed to be judgmental.
Many patients want to be excused for their current predicament because of events that occurred in their childhood.
That's what psychiatry has become in America. Visit any shopping mall or ethnic pride parade to witness the results.
What we say in here stays in here, right?
By ethical code, by law.
His crimes. They are organized crime.
The mafia.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, so what? So what?
This is us.
He betrays me every week with these whores.
I mean, this
probably
is us.
Probably the least of his misdeeds. You can leave now, or you can stay and hear what I have to say.
You're going to charge the same anyway.
I won't take your money.
That's a new one.
That
you
I don't
trust your initial impulse and consider leaving him. You'll never be able to feel good about yourself. You'll never be able to quell the feelings of guilt and shame that you talked about. As long as you're his accomplice.
You're wrong about the accomplice part, though.
Are you sure?
All I do is make sure he's got clean clothes in his closet. And
this is the way we talk about Israel.
So would be a more accurate job.
We just make sure they have weapons.
My apologies.
So, you think I need to define my boundaries more clearly? Keep a certain distance, not internalize my...
What did I just say?
Leave him.
Take only the children, what's left of them, and go.
My priest said I should try and work with him and help him to be a better man.
How's that going? Have you ever read Crime and Punishment? Dostoevsky. It's not an easy read. It's about guilt and redemption. And I think for your husband to turn himself in, read this book, and reflect on his crimes every day for 7 years in his cell, then he might be redeemed.
I would have to get a lawyer, find an apartment, arrange for child support.
You're not listening. I'm not charging you because I won't take blood money. You can't either. One thing you can never say,
that you haven't been told.
Well, there it is. Wow. So it took a little bit, but that's our era, and it's not a happy era. Although she does cheer up later on. I think they go out to a dinner, get a nice Italian meal, which I think does kind of fix a lot of it. But that's the era that we're in. We're being told. We've been told. We know what's up. We cannot run around this globe getting people to do what we want. We cannot be, attached to Benjamin Netanyahu at the hip. It doesn't work. It's not going to work. We'll destroy the entire country. We've been told. We do know. This isn't a shock as much as it to some people it is. But it isn't a shock when you take into consideration all the evidence that has been mounting about the decline of the American, not only hard power, but soft power. We can no longer run around the world building coalitions and convincing people of things. We don't have the moral high ground anymore. Nobody thinks we do. We are seen as an enabler of the overreach of countries like Israel. We've backed a lot of dictators in our day. We invaded Iraq. We invaded Afghanistan. We sent millions of refugees throughout Europe. We've destabilized the political systems of Europe, of the Netherlands, of the UK, and the ramifications of that are all quite obvious to anyone who is paying attention. We cannot claim that we have only been a force for good. We've certainly not only been a force for evil. We've done good things for sure, okay? But we now know that there is a real limit to what we can go out there and do. And we are Carmella at the end. That's where we are. We've lived in a big house for a while. It's been fun. The kids' communions and the Sunday dinner, Sunday supper, making the sauce. We made a lot of sauce Sunday suppers. We had a lot of barbecues in the backyard. We lived in a big suburban mansion for a long time. Mini mansion, whatever. Mick mansion, but whatever. For a guy who's in waste management, pretty good. We had a lot of fun. And, we kind of knew where the money was coming from. Let's be honest. There's nobody in this country that's completely innocent. We all knew. We didn't do it. We weren't pressing buttons and firing the missiles, but we sang along to the Toby Keith songs, and we thought it was cool, and we watched all the movies, and we kind of created this idea that we were this unimpeachable force for good, and whatever it was, the cheap food or the cheap gas or whatever we got out of it, we knew where it was coming from. But all we did, like Carmela Soprano, was make sure that the government had clean clothes. That's all we did. That's all she said. I'm not an accomplice. I just made sure he had clean clothes. I just did the laundry. And that's Carmela at the end. Goes, I just did the laundry. She didn't believe that. She doesn't believe that. But she's trying to make herself believe that so she can sleep. But we did more than the laundry. Carmela did more than the laundry. She took the trips to Paris. She went to the Plaza Hotel at Meadow and had tea. She went out to dinner. She went on the vacations. She enjoyed the spoils of the empire that her criminal husband has built. And so have we. And we have to reckon with that now, and we have to understand why we can no longer moralize to the rest of the world. Obviously, the people that run Iran are psychopaths who I don't think have the best interests of their people at heart. They're a theocratic fascist government that, inhibits the rights of women. We get it. There's no love laws here for the Islamic Republic of Iran, by the way. But we do have to think about, this is a stunning and humiliating defeat on the world stage. And we have to understand that we can no longer pretend that we are going to be able to dominate. We're not going to be able to dominate. We're going to share the globe. We're going to share the world, whether you like it, whether you think it's cool, whether Netanyahu likes it. we're not going to be able to just go in and topple a government anymore. We can't do it. We won't do it. We're not going to send 150,000 of our kids to go do it. We're not going to do it. We're not going to send 150,000 people to go die in Iran so that we can dominate and really allow Israel to dominate that region. It's not going to happen. And Vance, for all his flaws, of which there are many, knows that. He knows that. Vance is a political animal. Here's what I mean. The guy wants the job. I don't know that he'll get it, but he wants the motherfucking job. And he knows the public's not behind this. He knows the voters don't want it. He knows his own constituency, vast numbers of them, don't want it. His aspirations are political. He knows that the MAGA movement is starting to be pulled apart and it's fraying. And there's only so many parties you can throw. There's only so many UFC events at the White House lawn you can throw to keep these people entertained. There's only so many concerts in the park or whatever the hell they're going to try to do. Kid Rock can only fly, do a flyby and a stealth bomber so many times before people start to go, hey, what's going on here? Why don't I have any money? Why don't I have any money? Did you see Kid Rock? Dude, he did a, shut up. Where's my money? I don't have any money. What are we doing? So Vance is on the, he's pounding the pavement right now, trying to figure out how he can, because it's Vance v. Rubio. Rubio's staying quiet. Rubio's owned by the donors. Vance is owned by other donors, by the way. Vance is not without donors. If you want to know who Vance's donors are, go look at that Peter Thiel list. When people hear that Mint Mobile plans are only $15 per month, a lot of people wonder, what's the catch? Well, I can tell you from firsthand experience, there isn't one. There are no gimmicks and no gotchas, just unlimited talk, text, and data, fast, reliable coverage on the nation's largest 5G network, and an award-winning care team. I guess that makes Mint Mobile a catch. Since switching to Mint, I've been more secure in my humanity. I used to disassociate from myself and depersonalize myself, but now with Mint Mobile, I don't. Mint Mobile took what's wrong with wireless and made it right. With premium wireless, $15 a month? Whoa! You can even bring your current phone and number. Choose from 3, 6, or 12 months plans and say goodbye to a monthly bill. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile. It's so easy. Sign up online and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/Tim Dillon. That's mintmobile.com/Tim Dillon. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month. mintmobile.com/Tim Dillon. That's it. There's no catch. Disclaimer must be read verbatim. I mean, pretend you didn't hear that. That's behind the scenes. $45 upfront payments required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Scaling a business takes the right expertise at the right time. Upwork helps growing teams quickly bring in specialized freelancers so you can move faster and take the business to the next level. Hiring shouldn't be a headache or drain on your budget. Upwork makes it easy to hire specialized freelancers quickly so you can get the expertise you need now without weeks of recruiting or a full-time hire. The fastest growing businesses aren't doing more. They're delegating smarter. Upwork helps you bring in expert freelance help fast, so you can delegate and keep moving. One of the biggest growth hacks is realizing that you don't have to do it all yourself. Upwork makes it easy to bring in the right freelancer when you need them so you can stay focused on what you do best. Upwork is a one-stop platform to hire, find, and pay expert freelancers across the web and software development, data and analytics, marketing, business operations, and more. I'm telling you, it's so amazing. With Business Plus, you can access the top 1% of talent on Upwork. Unbelievable! Upwork also cuts down operational hassle by handling things like contracts and payments in one place so you can spend more time running the business. Visit Upwork.com/TIM right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com/TIM to connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com/TIM, Upwork.com/TIM. If something has been off in the bedroom, you're not the only one. A lot of guys wait longer than they need to take action. The difference now, getting real treatment is simple. And through Hims, it's 100% online. At some point, you stop blaming stress, sleep, just getting older. If bedroom performance is in question, it's probably crossed your mind to do something about it. Hims connects you with licensed healthcare providers online, giving you simple access to legitimate ED treatment options from home. No awkward appointments, no pharmacy lines. Just a complete, simple online intake, and a provider will review your information to determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment ships directly to your door in discreet packaging. To get simple online access to personalized, affordable care for ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/TIM. That's hims.com/TIM for your free online visit. hims.com/TIM. Prescription required. See website for details and important safety information. Sildenafil is a generic version of Viagra. Viagra is a registered trademark of Viatris Specialty LLC. Hims is not affiliated with or endorsed by Viatris. Get up that Peter Thiel list. Who's on the Thiel list? So Peter Thiel has a private club called the Dialogue Society, where because he likes talking. They want to chat. Who's on this list? We've got a lot of luminaries. Our friend Sam Harris is on the list. He goes there to teach them about meditation. Just breathe. We're here at the Dialogue Society. Just breathe. So there's a lot of people on this list. We have journalists on the list. We've got governors on the list, army secretaries, treasury secretaries, president of Cato Institute, Nobel laureate economist, Kushner, Trump's son-in-law. We've got Ezra Klein, who's a political commentator, Rick Warren, who's an evangelical pastor, billionaires. We've got Elon Musk, Eric Schmidt of Google, Musk, Peter Thiel, Henry Kravis, Macro Scalperin, Mike Cannon, Brooks, Scott Cook, Barry Sternlicht, Nicholas Berggruen, John Arnold, Joe Lonsdale, Palantir. I went to a party at his house once, talked about him on the show, was never invited back. He does have a beautiful pool. It's 90 feet. Do not sue me. Reid Hoffman, Netflix. I did. I went to a party at his home in Austin. This was the days of the intellectual dark web, and he invited me, and I went, and he's got a stunning pool, and I met his wife, and his wife comes in, and he didn't introduce her by name. He said, third generation Stanford. They're all very strange, these people. They're incredibly strange. They don't eat. Here's the thing about the tech people. They don't, and do not sue me. It's not fair. They don't eat. Don't sue me in my 500th episode. So they don't eat. Joe Lonsdale, friend of the show, loves Barry Weiss, that whole crew. Palantir guy, and don't kill me either. Don't sue me and don't kill me. It's wrong. So they don't eat. The tech people don't eat. And he had like this thing in his house. And I met one of the Bush, George P. Bush, who's like one of the Hispanic Bushes, but like really Hispanic. You know, he's I'm like, how are you? He's like, muy bien. You know, but he's like a Bush. So you're like, oh. Because you forget, he's Jeb's son, I think, and Jeb married Columba. And Barbara said, literally, you'll never be president. You just married the maid. Barbara said it. I didn't say it. Now, here's the deal. I was at the house, and they have a Thai food truck or like a vegan Thai food truck or whatever. And no one was eating. You didn't see anyone eating. But I'm a swimmer, and I love pools. And I think he's got one of the best pools you can ever have. And I went on the show and I talked about it. And he didn't like it. He was like mad. He was like angry. And I think I was kind of complimentary. I don't know. You know, I think I'm being complimentary. But, you know, because when I first moved to Austin, this is not his house. There's another house. He might have bought another house. He might have 10 houses. The point is this. The one I saw had an unbelievable pool. And he was telling me he wanted to build another city to compete with Austin, to make Austin better. The one thing about these tech guys, they do have big dreams. And he goes, I want to build another city with universities, and I want to pressure Austin to be better because of this other city I want to build. And, you know, what do you do? Like, how do you even respond to that? I was like, oh, that's cool. It's like what I said. He's like, I'm going to build another city. And, you know, they don't really look at you when they talk to them. I'm going to build another city to pressure Austin to be better because the infrastructure in Austin needs to be better. And if we built another city, and I just went, oh, that's cool. And then he invited me shooting. Like, they go out and dress up in, like, army things and, like, crawl around and shoot in, like, a military, like, a fake military thing. All these tech people, by the way, it's all fake. Like, all of it is like they're LARPing as these things they're not. So they're all, like, obsessed with, like, this idea of masculinity. And, you know, so he's like, we go, like, shooting, but it's like a military game. And I was like, oh, no, I can't. I was like, yeah. I don't know. That day I'm busy. Pool party or, you know, tacos, sure. I don't want to do like military fake games, but a lot of them do that. So a lot of them do that. They all love these conferences. They go to these weird conferences, and maybe not him. Do not sue me or kill me. And if you do, everyone will know. They will know it's you. You know, but like these tech people, they do these activities where they like, I don't know. It feels like a bunch of people that have never grown up. Like I was talking to a friend of mine recently, he was talking about Sam Altman, and he's like, everything can be digitized. Every single human interaction, emotion, it's all just data sets. And you're like, oh, you don't know anything about life. You're barely a human being. These people are barely human beings. Okay. And it's what's interesting about them. And by the way, obviously, there's tons of benefits to technology. But let's also be honest. Some things just suck now. Like I went to my friend's house. He lives in the Valley with his family and his lovely family. And we were like, we were sitting there talking and I showed them my cat. I have a kitten. We're going to bring the kitten home. The kitten's not ready. The kitten just got banned from Ireland, actually, because of things that it had posted. Crazy things. And I don't even want to say them on the air. But, it was just very, you know, it was a lot of the restore the sovereignty, but it kind of went overboard. But I showed the family the kitten. They got some kids. They thought the cat was great. The wife loved the cat. And then my friend goes, let's go to McDonald's. We should go to McDonald's. Let's eat in a McDonald's. When's the last time you've eaten in a McDonald's? And me and his wife, we all kind of laughed. We went, you know, we hadn't. And we used to eat McDonald's. I used to eat at McDonald's all the time. We'd swim practice after, you know, when I was 7 or 8 years old. Me and my father would go eat in McDonald's. McDonald's has the best fast food breakfast. At that time, I haven't been there in a minute. I'm sure it still holds up. But let me tell you right now. So if you've been in a McDonald's recently or any fast food restaurant, it's all kiosks. So you have to order on the screen, which is stained with ketchup. So you're touching a screen that a million other people, including homeless people, have touched. And I'm not trying to go at the homeless. I'm just saying there's fecal matter on the screen you touch. There's a shit and piss coating on the screen that you have to touch. Now, if you have a customizable order, which I really don't, I get a filet of fish, I get a quarter pounder, I get a small fry, and sometimes a four-piece nugget, because I just like the mouth feel of the barbecue sauce, the sweet, tangy barbecue sauce, and I just like the barbecue stuff. Do I even need the nugget? I could thumb it in, actually, because I just want that package of barbecue. So we go there, and he's got a family where, like, you know, one kid doesn't eat onions. The other kid doesn't eat pickles. This one wants this. So you got to stand there for 30 minutes. By the way, nobody is behind the counter at McDonald's anymore. There's, like, people in the back, and there's, like, one manager who's, like, very stressed out because all these kiosk orders keep coming out wrong. They keep coming out wrong and people keep going up with their food going, I didn't order this or I requested this. And this thing that's supposed to be efficient, that's supposed to save McDonald's a lot of money. You know, you used to walk into McDonald's and there was a person there and you would order from the person. And the person, sometimes like in the olden times, they would put the food on the tray in front of you while you stood there. But now you order at a kiosk, you take a number and then sit at a table in the McDonald's and wait for your order to come. And then by the time you get it, the fries are cold, things are wrong. And then they ask for the receipt. So a little kid went up and goes, I didn't get my McFlurry. It's a little kid. He's like 8. And the woman's like, where's your receipt? So now you've got an 8-year-old trying to find the receipt to the McFlurry. And his parents were like, I don't know, he's eight. Like, let's try to find the receipt. But he definitely ordered it. We're here. And he did order it. And then they finally gave it to them. But what I mean is, like, we're taking people out of this. For what reason? For what reason? Because McDonald's, it's not more efficient. It's not. And it's not better. So, but it makes McDonald's more money. But they're not paying their people more. But it's not more efficient. It's not better. The experience sucks. Every fast food, oh, you're talking about fast food. Fuck you. Yes. Yes. It's part of our culture. It's not good. Fine. Eat sauerkraut with RFK. He seems happy. Whatever you want. Whatever you people want to do. I'm not saying eat fast food all the time. But this is a good example. These are entry-level jobs. They used to be for teenagers. Teenagers used to work in fast food. You know what? Now they're doing. They're killing each other and filming it to put on TikTok. That's what they're doing. There are mobs of teenagers running around the country, killing people, stomping out other kids and putting it on TikTok. By the way, is this, do you have, oh yeah.
Tonight,
or they're doing teen takeovers, violence. I don't want to say that they're all black because there are some white kids, the Gilbert Goons. There are white kids that do this too. But there are, this happens to be a video with a lot of black ones. But there are also many violent white ones. And so there's these teen takeovers. And by the way, these kids used to have jobs. They used to work in movie theaters and they used to work at places like McDonald's. These were entry-level jobs for kids or immigrants, whatever. So those are gone and they're going away. So what are the kids going to do? Well, they roam the streets with their phones, trying to go viral, kicking someone in the head. They try to go viral, stepping on someone's head because they don't understand the consequences of their actions. And they don't understand that someone could hit their head and die. They don't understand that they could spend the rest of their life in jail. They don't understand. They're living in a video game. They're fucking young teenagers. They don't have any, no one's teaching them responsibility. All they want to be is famous. All they want to be is rich. All they've seen is live streamers get famous for no goddamn reason. All they've seen is it doesn't make any sense why any particular person has any money. So it's a casino and a grift. And it's perfectly encompassed by the MAGA movement, which is just a bunch of people running around Palm Beach, cheating on their wives, doing drugs, grifting, pumping up meme coins and shit coins. I mean, truly, that's what it is. Whatever you think it is on the outside, that's what it really is. It's just a bunch of people tearing the remaining parts of flesh off the carcass of this empire. That's what it is. And these kids have grown up, and these are their elders. These are the people they look up to for guidance. So they don't work at McDonald's anymore. And you're literally pressing filet of fish into on a computer screen where it's stained by shit. So what exactly have we done in those areas? Is it better now? All of the McDonald's look like storage facilities. All of the fast food restaurants look like storage facilities. Everybody orders everything on Amazon. Nobody goes to any, unless you're wealthy or unless you live by a cute little outdoor mall or a farmer's market. Unless you were doing that, you're just ordering things on Amazon or you're going to Walmart. Is that better? Is shopping better? I'm asking. Is shopping better? Is going out, is grabbing burgers with your kids better now than it was when you can't look at a human? Are these things better? It doesn't seem to me that it's better. Is having a robot show up to your house with a burrito necessarily better than a human being? It doesn't feel like it. The robot takes longer. Even if the robot was faster, which it's not, it's a robot and it's not a human being. Well, this is how people are going to evolve and get new jobs. What are the new jobs? Crypto scams? Smashing your face with a hammer? What are the new jobs? I'm just kind of asking, what are the, working at data centers? Are those the new jobs? Working at data centers are the new jobs. Those are the new jobs that people are supposed to do? What are kids supposed to do that can't work at fast food restaurants or movie theaters or retail stores? What are they supposed to do? I'll tell you what they're going to do. They're going to walk around and they're going to step on each other's heads and put it on TikTok for clout. Whoa, yo! What are they all supposed to do? What's everybody supposed to do? How about a 14-point plan deal with America? How about a 14-point deal with the United States of America, the country that you people were elected to govern? How about 14 points, a deal with tech? How about a 14-point deal with tech and the people that don't want any regulation of AI and they want to destroy people's privacy? They want to destroy people's autonomy, their bodily autonomy. How about we make a 14-point plan with them? Can we do that? Can we get the heads of the tech companies in a room and hammer out a 14-point plan? Or is that not as important as the Islamic Republic of Iran? Because we do have to be honest, tech has done a lot of amazing things. I'm sitting here right now doing a show where nobody tells me what to say because we are on YouTube platform that allows this to happen. The cost of production of my show is relatively low. I don't have the executives. I don't have standards and practices. I don't have marketing. Nobody tells me what to say on this show. That's what makes it good. You know, that couldn't have happened 20 years ago. So I'm grateful to a lot of advancements, and I've made a living and I've made good money. So I totally understand. But here's the idea. We need to have a discussion about artificial intelligence. But here's J.D. Vance. Again, this is J.D. Vance, friend of the show, in an interview about AI. And now Vance is the tech candidate. Rubio is the Israel war candidate. Vance is the tech candidate. But the tech people also get involved in the global wars. They love them. They love them. And the national security state apparatus can also fuck with the tech people. So it's really just about who can sell this better, because these two groups, which are different and have different interests, have a lot of overlapping interest in terms of continuing to make large amounts of money. So here's J.D. Vance on artificial intelligence. But by the way, it's very well known. I'm not shitting on J.D. Vance. I'm just saying it is very well known that he is the tech candidate in the race. J.D. Vance.
When I look at AI, I don't see mass unemployment as the most likely consequence. I think people will become more productive. I think some people's jobs will change. Some people will lose their jobs.
Right.
But I just don't buy this idea. And I haven't seen any evidence in the data that it's going to lead to mass unemployment.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. He hasn't seen any evidence or data. Now, by the way, a lot of the people who are involved in the creation of AI have predicted this and have literally said that they're going to eliminate, like, AI is going to eliminate lots of jobs. J.D. Vance has said he hasn't seen any evidence or data of that. By the way, all there is evidence. It's the testimony of people that were involved in creating the technology. Those people have come out with, like, stern warnings going, this is going to be real disruptive. This is going to be real tough. J.D. Vance goes, but I haven't seen any evidence or data of that. Where are you looking? Where are you looking? Are you not looking? What are you talking about? You haven't seen any evidence or data of that? This guy's online, like, more than I am. This guy's online. This guy's on X all day. This guy's on YouTube. This guy's in comments. You haven't come across any evidence or data that AI is going to lead to mass unemployment and layoffs? You've never heard that argument? You've never watched that Tucker Ben Shapiro thing about self-driving trucks? And it's a discussion about what will happen if we institute. What are you talking about? You're good friends with Tucker. And what do you mean you've never heard it? This is the problem with him. Instead of giving an answer that sounds remotely believable, let's listen to him again.
The thing I really worry about with AI is surveillance. AI is...
Oh, this is another clip. Okay. This is another clip. We're going to watch this clip. But before that, let's watch the previous clip. Because this is a Vanceism. This is very interesting. It's whoever he's in a room with here. Let's watch this. He's basically saying, and it's one of my favorite quotes I think I've heard come out of his mouth. I have just never seen any evidence or data or anything. And it's like, well, what are you talking about evidence? Like, would circumstantial evidence be the people who created the technology are warning about this constantly? Would that be considered evidence? Here he is, J.D. Vance, friend of the show. Let's get, I can't hear him. Okay. So, I mean, this is what he does. He lies in a way that isn't good. He doesn't know how to lie. He doesn't know what, he just basically, he tries to like take himself out of it. Goes, well, I haven't seen any evidence. Okay, here he is.
When I look at AI, I don't see mass unemployment as the most likely consequence. I think people will become more productive. I think some people's jobs will change. Some people will lose their jobs. But I just don't buy this idea. And I haven't seen any evidence in the data that it's going to lead to mass unemployment.
Okay. No evidence. No evidence, no data. Evidence in the data. I don't see any evidence. The people who were instrumental in creating the technology come out and tell you this is what it's going to do. They're not at all like being like vague about their intentions. They literally come out and go, yeah, a lot of people aren't going to have jobs. They tell you that. They come out and say it. Now let's watch that surveillance clip because that's very interesting. He's concerned about surveillance. That's comforting. So go back to the beginning of this. J.D. Vance here is concerned about surveillance.
The thing I really worry about with AI is surveillance. AI is, you know, a friend of mine once said that AI is fundamentally a communist technology in that it allows governments and corporations to surveil people in very profound and different ways. And that scares me a lot. Like, I don't want a social credit system that's powered by AI. I don't want you to not be able to buy a beer because some tech CEO has given you a
score.
Stop
it for a minute. Stop it. Who are these tech CEOs? Like, he says some tech CEO as if he's not sponsored by the tech CEOs and friends with the tech CEOs. I mean, this is very difficult for him. This is the difficulty that he's going to have in this upcoming campaign. He's like, I don't want some tech CEO. It's like, well, I don't know. You're sitting next to him at dinner. Why don't you tell him not to? Let him buy the beer. Hey, can you let this guy buy the beer? He's a good guy. Let him buy the beer. You're at dinner with the guy. So then just tell him. It's like when I had dinner with Vance, I said, just release everything. I'm a podcaster. I have no real power, but just release everything. Release every file you have. Release everything. They've not done that. But that's the only way. That's the only way that you can wash your hands of this. You release everything. You commission an independent investigation. You have Ghislaine Maxwell testify. All this stuff. You got to do it. If you don't do it, you'll be inherently suspect forever. It's just what it is. It's maximum transparency or you're suspect forever. And then there's no amount of UFC fights on the White House lawn. There's no amount of fireworks and there's no amount of military flyovers you can do that are going to satisfy people because everybody's going to go, you are participating in a cover-up of the worst crime imaginable. It's very simple. It's not difficult. It's very easy. But it's never going to happen. Or it's certainly not going to happen under this administration. Let's let him finish his answer here about the surveillance state that they're all worried about, which is why they gave Sam Altman $500 billion, by the way, because of the surveillance state that they're all worried about. It's why that they wanted to murder. I'm not kidding. They wanted Palantir, and Palantir might be doing it, to merge all of the databases that collect information on you, the federal government's databases, whether it's the health, you know, concerning health issues or criminal justice issues. They wanted Palantir to come in and merge them all. And merge them. And now he's going, I'm concerned that a tech CEO wouldn't want to buy you a beer, or you couldn't buy a beer because a tech CEO wouldn't let you. But you guys wanted Palantir to come in and organize all the federal government's data and merge all of these databases together. What the hell's that? What would that be used for? What exactly would that be used for? Birthday cards? Knowing everybody's birthday? Knowing when people retire so you could send them a little gift? What exactly would a database, a grand database that Palantir builds that integrates all of the information the government has about you and builds a profile on you. What exactly would that be used for? I'm just confused. So here we go again. Let's let him finish. Let's give him the benefit of many doubts.
Based on an artificial intelligence algorithm that nobody actually understands. That scares me too, but I don't think we're going to have mass unemployment. We might have mass inequality. That's its own problem. It's right. A different problem though.
Interesting. Good. Well, the good news is we won't have mass unemployment. The bad news is we might have like Calcutta style slums. So we will have mass inequality. That might suck. I don't know how we get there with that mass unemployment. Again, that's just so funny. That's just such a funny thing to say. It's such a great thing to say. It's a funny thing to say, hey, we're not going to have mass unemployment, but we might have massive inequality. That's a different problem. Everybody will be working at the data center. They will eat. They will be able to lick the nutrient brick. That we will keep them alive. We will keep them on a diet where they can stay alive to work at the data center. Another friend of mine, by the way, they're building these data centers and they just put an ad in the Wall Street Journal. I believe it was the Journal. And Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs. Is that the guy from Dirty Jobs? They're doing this thing now where they're sponsoring. They're going to pay people to learn how to build data centers. Okay, they're going to pay people to learn how to do these construction jobs. And yeah, this is the guy from Dirty Jobs. So there's this ad or this article in the Wall Street Journal. Because by the way, everything now, and I want to talk about this briefly. Everything is very interesting. I have a friend that works at a YouTube startup where they're doing shows for new creators, like long form YouTube shows. Where is the money coming from? Well, a lot of the money is coming from Democrat super PACs. And the money is coming from Democrat super PACs that are funding these, you know, longer form shows that YouTube wants to do with young creators, because the Democrat super PACs, and probably not all Democrat and not exclusively Democrat, but like these PACs, political action committees, these 501Cs, whatever they want an audience. They want a captive audience. So if your channel has 10 million people that are watching content that you have funded and you have gotten behind, and you have that audience, you've collected 10 million people that are watching your stuff, and then you can program that channel to have whatever messaging you want or whatever political ads you want or this, that, and the other thing. So basically, instead of like a clear cut, like, you know, it's a commercial, you know, it's happening. You know, I'll do an ad for Polymarket. I'll do an ad for Blue Chew. I'll do an ad for fucking Helix Mattress. You kind of know what's happening. Some of this now is becoming a little more insidious, where you're watching a channel, you're watching content on a channel. That channel exists solely to create an audience to be programmed in some political way. And that's why a lot of the money, because they're instead of saying, hey, let's just run ads on established, they go, let's get behind creators. Let's make money. Let's build an audience. And we now have a captive audience for whatever messaging that we have. The Wall Street Journal op-ed, quote, high-tech seeks skilled tradesmen, co-authored by Meta President Dina Powell McCormick and Mike Rowe, announces America's Workforce Academy. This $115 million initiative aims to resolve the massive skilled labor shortage needed to construct AI and digital data center infrastructure. They're going to pay you to learn how to build these data centers, and then once they're built, your job is over. And they are paying you to build these data centers. You're going to build the things that replace you, and then the job's over. A fast-tracked 5-week training program covering high-demand vocations such as electrical work, plumbing, welding, fiber optics, and HVAC. Costs and benefits. Training is completely free. Meta and its partners, including CBRE and the Associated Builders and Contractors, cover all tuition, airfare, lodging, and provide a daily stipend during the training period. Guaranteed jobs. Every graduate receives an industry-recognized credential and a guaranteed job on a Meta construction project or with a partner. Mike Rowe, via his foundation, has spent decades advocating for the dignity of blue-collar work and addressing the nation's widening skills gap. His foundation is helping scale a practical bridge linking eager workers with debt-free six-figure potential trade centers. Now, Mike Rowe might just be saying they're going to learn all these skills and they'll build the data center, but they'll still have these skills and they'll still be employable, so whatever. I'm not questioning Mike Rowe's motives. I don't know him and I don't care. Or they just Medicaid him a shitload of money and he's leading people like lambs to the slaughter. I don't really know. I don't know. But what I will say is this is interesting. They go, we finally have jobs, high-skilled, you know, labor jobs, and we'll pay you to learn. And why are we doing that? Oh, to build these data centers. That's why we're doing it. We could have done this to fix American infrastructure. We could have done it to fix roads and bridges. We could have done it to make our cities beautiful. We could have done it to make our public spaces beautiful and inspiring. We didn't do it. We're only doing it now at the behest of Meta so that they can build massive AI data centers. So finally, we have shovel-ready jobs for skilled tradesmen. But here's the kicker. You are building the thing that will inevitably replace you and many other people in your community. So that's, listen, there's always a catch. There's always a little bit of a catch, and this happens to be the catch. This happens to be the catch. You finally have a job, and you work for 6 months to a year. You build this massive data center. And then, you know, good luck. We're going to bring in people to run the data center. And, you know, we really don't know what you're going to do after that. So all of these people are being, they're saying, Bill, we're going to pay for you to learn the skills. We're going to train you so you can build these data centers that will eventually replace all the jobs. Although our Vice President, J.D. Vance, has said that we do not need to worry about joblessness coming from AI, only vast inequality and potential surveillance. Well, there you have it. You know, there you have it. That's where we're at. But I'm happy we're out of Iran. It's better than nothing. It's better than nothing. It's better than still being there. 500 episodes, 500 hours of this show. We started the show in 2016. And I've done it 500 hours, a bunch of hours on Patreon. I think our country is healthier now than it's ever been, happier now than it's ever been, smarter and more hopeful about the future. And I think I've had something to do with that. Not to pat myself on the back, but a lot of people get on here and they're negative for the hour. And I don't do it. You know, there's so much pressure to be negative and to feast on negative news and, you know, enrich yourself in the process. But what I've chosen to do day in and day out is consistently highlight the positive aspects of humanity and help everyone build a bridge to their future self, their better, smarter, more successful future self. So thank you for being a part of that journey. Obviously, we will be back next week and all the other weeks until I am put in jail. And they will put me in jail eventually. It will be some type of jail. I will be in jail. And that's okay. That's okay. Eventually, Peter Thiel, J.D. Vance, Joe Lonsdale, whatever his name is, I will be in jail. And, you know, I'll be in some type of re-education camp or whatever because I have spoken out against the future. Because they're going to start calling it that, by the way. They're just going to start calling it the future. And anyone that doesn't like it or anyone who questions it and all of this stuff about surveillance and all that, they're worried about surveillance. I'm worried about surveillance. This is all fake. Obviously, you're not stupid. You guys know this. It is all meant to give you the idea that there's some debate or there's some thing, but there's not. There's no 14-point deal. It's with Iran. And the only time they rein these tech people in is when banks flip out and go, we could lose all our fucking money. AI could figure out, or AI is going to figure out some way to like let the nukes fly. It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do. And by the way, all these bans, like UK is going to ban the phones for kids under 16. By the way, I'm all for getting people off the fucking phone. They should ban them for anyone under 90, by the way. But here's the point. It has nothing to do with the mental health of your children. You know that. It's so that your children cannot, in their very formative year, and listen, there's a lot of people online that victimize children, all that stuff, and that should end. And those people should obviously be prosecuted. But that's not what it's about. What it is about is in your child's formative years, they're not going to encounter ideas that challenge the authority of the state. That's what that's about. They're not going to be exposed to ideas that might make them question the legitimacy of the state, the corporate oligarchy, the technocracy, the entirety of the power structure. They're not going to question it. And by the time that we do introduce this technology to them, we've had, hopefully, what, if we give it to them at 16, they start going to school at 5, we've had about 15 years of brainwashing. 15 years of brainwashing before we hand them, and I'm not saying phones are great, by the way, they've ruined everything. But like, make no mistake, that's not why they don't care about your kids' mental health at all. At all, by the way. This is so that they have a head start of 15 years of brainwashing before your child comes in contact with any idea that would question the legitimacy of whatever the hell the people in power are trying to do. That's what it is. And that's why there's going to be a ban in the UK. And don't think, again, why is there a ban now in the UK? Well, the UK is having a lot of issues with a lot of different things, from migration to the economy. And there's a lot of anger, especially amongst younger people. And that has to be quelled. I'm not saying all that anger is justified or that it's being articulated in the right way. But I am saying that in order to shut down this conversation, they need to get these ideas out of the hands of younger people. Because a lot of younger people are very angry. They're anxious about the opportunities that they're going to have. They're questioning why in their own country, some of them feel less safe or certainly less prosperous. And in order to shut down that conversation, you have to take away their ability to be exposed to ideas that are not filtered through the prism of the state and corporate media. I hope that's not a shock to everyone. Again, I'm not a fan of your 14-year-old spending all day on the phone, but make no mistake, the government of the UK or Australia or whatever, they don't care. They are doing this because they realize they're losing the plot. They're losing legitimacy in the eyes of young people. They're losing authority in the eyes of young people. When a kid says, I've been stabbed, and the cops go, no, you haven't, and he's laying there bleeding out, and the cops choose to believe a guy because they have to operate in this framework of, you know, equity and political correctness and things they barely understand, and young people see that and are filled with rage and go, that kid could have been me bleeding out on the street. Now it's time to take everybody's phones, obviously. 500 hours. Here's to 501. Thank you, everyone. Good night.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever.
Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dix.com/scorecardplus for details.